This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
And it is a good day for some Nigerians because their candidate, presidential hopeful Vice President Yemi Osinbajo, has declared for presidency. He's the latest. Over the weekend, we had Rotimi Amaechi, Transport Minister, declare. We also had a few other people, maybe not top on the ranks, but yeah, we had some. Oh, Tunde Bakare. Yeah, he declared as well. Some people think that's a joke, but I mean, a declaration is a declaration. So what we have seen happen so far is that the two political the two major political parties, APC and PDP, which many people believe are cut from the same cloth, have been silent on the zoning matter. You know, some people are saying, well, zoning is our constitution. Some say there's no zoning in good faith, equity, justice, fairness, and all that. But we have also come to see that all of the candidates so far that have come out from the APC are from the south. Is that an indication that they have subtly, you know, zoned it to the south? For the PDP, we have the north, we have the south, we even have the middle belt. North Central. Okay. My guest, Oledi Koyege, joins me this morning of the Independent Monitor. He's a journalist. Good morning, Deko.
Yeah, good morning.
Ovunda Ike.
Yes, yes. Hope you had a great weekend.
Oh, I did.
Okay, good.
Somewhat. Okay, so first things first, Deko. You know, a lot of things have happened in the last 7 years that has made many people leave Nigeria. Many people have a rethink about, you know, Nigeria, the great nation project. And it looks like a lot of people who are happy that people are declaring are missing the big picture, the big question, the task before the person who is to become president.
Well, I think I don't know whether it's the way we've seen government over the years. You know, we focus too much attention. If you are looking at task before who should be Nigeria's next president, it's just because we focus too much attention on the federal government and leave governors, you know, out of the picture, leave local government chairman out of the picture. This is a federation, meaning we practice 3 tiers of government. The local government, the state, you know, and of course at the federal level. But we focus too much attention on the federal government to the exclusion, you know, of governors and local government chairmen. And that's not really good for Nigeria's democracy, you understand? Because the kind of attention we put on the federal government, if we can put it on our local government chairman, if we can put same energy on state governors, then we'll probably have had a better Nigeria as it is today, you understand? A lot of us know the name of our governors. A lot of us know the name of the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria.
And that's it.
A lot of us don't even know the names of our local government chairman.
Councillors.
And, yeah, and local government chairman receive
House
money.
House of Reps members, of course, House Assembly
of course.
Members.
You could say, look, those their main business of those in the legislature is just to make laws, you know, for the
just?
Good. That is basically the responsibility of lawmakers, make laws to, you know, for a better Nigeria. But it is the executive arm that presents budget. It is the executive arm that implements the budget. It is the executive arm that generates the money and spends the money. So the attention should rather be focused more on the executive arm. And of course, you have the local government chairman at the local government level, state governors at the state level, and of course, president. So you look at a lot of factors that have gone wrong with Nigeria, that is going wrong with Nigeria, then you know that we need to have more people focusing on local and state government.
Bottom up. That,
yeah, bottom up, because that's where we really need it. You understand?
So what do you think are going to be the top task before the person who's going to come in? Three. Just give us three critical ones that you think they should deal with urgently.
Security, employment, and economic development. Three, just those three factors would be the key issues before, you know, the next president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Security, because you're aware of what's happening in Nigeria at the moment. I think with the exception of a sizable part of the south-south, of the southwest, and some parts of North Central. I think the other region, the Southeast, we're having a lot of issues with unknown government in the Southeast as of today. The Northwest, Itato, not touched largely, is now under severe, you know, attack. Kaduna, principally for now, we had Sokoto, we had Zamfara. I think the Northeast is beginning to get some form of liberation. Not much of attacks again in Yobe, in Borno, in Adamawa, in Gombe, you know. So it means we're having some kind of relaxed nature in the Northeast. So the key areas now is the Northwest, Kaduna particularly, and of course the North Central, especially that corridor between Benue, Plateau and Niger State. So you understand that, look, we have a lot of insecurity issues, you know, spread across some regions in Nigeria. Economic development, because we have unemployment at the moment. We need to struggle to, you know, to grow our GDP. And of course, the issue of not having people employed. So those are the three key things that that must come before the next president of Nigeria. Incidentally, and like I argued earlier, it's not just the task before the president, you understand? In trying to create employment, in trying to drive economic growth, it shouldn't just be the core responsibility of the federal government. For example, the number one need of human existence is food.
Mm.
So it means once you have food security, you are likely going to solve a whole lot of problems. Once there is food security, you can stop some criminal tendencies, because they say an hungry man, you know, a hungry man is an angry man. You understand? So we need to have a lot of agricultural policies coming from states. And as of today, how many states actually have agricultural policies? You know, when you look at the comparative advantages over others, then you begin to understand that governors actually have a huge role to play. Even local government chairman too. What are the agricultural policies? How are you going
because
to
that's,
engage
Because, I mean, that's where the grassroots is.
Exactly.
That's where the farms are supposed to be, in local government areas. So
Nigeria is rich in a lot of cash and food crops.
Oh,
cassava,
they said that to
cocoa,
me in primary school.
And all of that
primary
rice.
School.
Yeah.
They said that to me in primary school. And I grew up, and over 50% of my income goes to food.
And then, you know.
So, what? Say it again.
Nigeria is rich in food and cash crops. And interestingly, if you look at the configuration of Nigeria at the moment, as much as 60 to 65% of the food we consume in Nigeria comes from one part of Nigeria. So you can understand if the southern part of Nigeria joins in that attaching seriousness to agriculture, then you can begin to understand that, look, we might be able to bridge the gap. Just look at it, yam, onions, beans, rice, they're all coming from the north.
Okay,
you understand? Yeah. So they are coming from the north. So you wonder why we have not taken agriculture seriously in southern part, when we have the land, we have everything. We have probably better conditions than even the north. North has to go through irrigation, all of that. We don't even need that, you know, for much part, you know, of southern Nigeria. Sugarcane, wheat, these are all things that we can grow in the south. So it's not just a task before the next president. We should not be looking at the task before the next set of leaders we are going to elect in 2023, starting from the state house of assembly to governor, to the national assembly, and of course to the presidency of Nigeria.
0817923000. We're live. Oh, fantastic. 0817923000. 0817923000. 0817923000. Are the numbers to call. But Ige, let's look at the candidates. In your opinion, the top candidates that have picked up tickets so far.
Well, I think it's becoming more and more interesting by the day. If you look at the number of people are now declaring for the presidency of Nigeria, you have in the PDP, you have in the APC, and it's getting more and more interesting every day. Looks like 2023, or should I say the forthcoming presidential primaries of both PDP and APC, will be one of the hardest fought, you know, in recent history.
One of the hardest fought?
Yeah, in
Why
recent history.
Why do you say
history.
That?
When you look at the caliber of the candidates, in APC, we have the vice president, the incumbent vice president, who has just this morning declared his intention to succeed his boss. Over the weekend, we had the former governor of Rivers State.
This is the second vice president doing that?
Yes, in recent times. Mm. At the weekend, we had the former governor of Rivers State and current minister of transportation.
So we're the APC now. So we have Tinubu.
We have Rochas Okrocha saying he's interested in the presidency.
I like the way you put it.
Yeah, we have Ojuz Okalu saying he's interested in the presidency. presidency too. So those are the top, you know, five candidates that we have in the APC.
You're putting Rogers and Orji among the top five?
Yeah, without any doubt, both are former governors, both are serving senators, both are quite experienced politicians. You are also aware that there have been this agitation for us to take presidency to the southeast.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Okay, so
in the...
The way I've written down is Oshibajo, Amaechi, Tinubu.
Yes.
So let's leave it at top three. Now let's go to PDP. That might be a little bit more tricky for you.
PDP, no, not difficult really. The top candidates in
Atiku
PDP will be Atiku.
Is PT will be a top candidate? Okay, wait. Let's go to the second one.
Okay, so the top candidates, I'll be looking at Atiku, the governor of Rivers State, the former governor. Yes. The governor of Rivers State, Chivie Somwike, the former governor of Kwara State,
Bukola
Saraki, obviously. Peter Obi, and of course the current governor of Sokoto State, Aminu Tambuwal.
Tambuwal is in the race?
Yeah, Tambuwal is in the race.
Okay,
obviously.
Again. So this is second outing?
Yes.
And maybe Atiku's fifth or sixth?
I think Atiku's fifth.
Okay. So top five, we have Oshibajo, we have Amaechi, we have Tinubu, we have Rogers, we have Orji, four APC, and all of them are from the South. Then we have from the PDP, Atiku, Bukola Saraki, Governor Somwike, Peter Obi, and Tambuwal.
Yeah.
So there's a mix there.
Well, I think it's down to the primaries, really. A lot of consultations are going on.
They've been going
currently.
On for a long time.
Yeah,
this is very fierce.
You know, the kind of consultation I'm sure that is going on or that will be going on will be that, look, can we just achieve a presidential ticket via consensus?
Which is what they should be looking to, right?
It depends on the actors, really. I'm sure for both political parties, they will want to avoid a rancorous presidential primary. Unfortunately for the political parties, consensus has been listed as one of the options in the amended Electoral Act. The only condition attached to consensus candidature is that, look, if you are going to say we have a consensus candidate, then all of the people who are supposed to contest that election must sign and say, look, we agree that this is our consensual, you know, arrangement. Then there will not be a voice vote of party members to say we have agreed with this consensus arrangement. Mm. Anything outside of that means they have to go through the rigorous process of a primary.
And it's very important. It's very important for both parties because right now they both want to either remain or return to Aso Rock.
Sure. Yeah, particularly for the People's Democratic Party. They were in power before, lost out.
They seem to be desperate.
Lost out in 2015, and they are now thinking that, look, 2023 might just present the best possible chance for them to take over the reins of power, especially at the federal level. For the incumbent all-ruling progressive Congress, they will also be determined to ensure that, look, it's not just a fluke that they got the power in 2015. So you see why both parties may be looking at the consensual arrangement. Let's avoid this, you know, rancorous process or where you are going to have frictions, you know, going through a presidential primary. Can we just look for a way? And I think for the PDP, especially for Tambuwal, Bala Mohammed, Abubakar, Bukola Saraki, and Atiku, in recent times they've been talking about how to present, you know, a consensus candidate, you know, for the party. Saraki, Tambuwal, and Ayatuddin were in Port Harcourt last week to meet with the governor of Rivers State. I'm sure it might just be through that process of saying, look, can we all sit down as aspirants and just nominate, you know, one person, you know, from our political party. APC too may also be driving towards that process. Their timetable is not out at the moment. But I'm sure once they release their timetable for primaries, then you begin to see a lot of alignment and realignment in trying to ensure that, look, can we have something that is consensus? If there is no consensus, then they go through the process of a presidential primary, which will be intense without any doubt. With the declaration of the vice president today, then it throws a lot of permutation into focus. The real attention had been on Bola Tinubu and Amaechi, who declared at the weekend. Mm. But with the VP joining the race,
there's a shift.
It throws it wide open.
Do you see a possibility of one of them stepping down? Because it's early days yet. Yes, we're looking at the possibility of a consensus candidate. But do you see anyone stepping down from the PDP, the top five, and the APC? I mean, I have reservations about two people on the list, both sides, but...
Bueno, in politics, you can never say never. And like, you know, one of my political mentors used to tell me in those days, 1 minute is equal to 48 hours in politics. In 1 minute, you can decide the fate of a candidate. In just 1 minute. So you can never say never in politics. It depends on what is tabled before you. What are you... What offers are before you? What are they telling you? Okay, why don't you step down? Look at what we can achieve if we eventually gain power. We'll give you the opportunity to nominate one or two or three ministers. This one will happen. We'll give you opportunity to nominate ambassadorial, you know, nominees. You know, you have to table a lot of offers before you. Then you also have to sit down and search within yourself. Can you really win this? If you are sure that you cannot win the primary and they are already tabling some offers before you.
All of the candidates are sounding really cocksure.
But when the push comes to shove, then you begin to, when the push comes to shove, then you begin to realize yourself that, look, this might just be a tall, this might just be a tall order for me. So why don't I just look at the options before me and possibly embrace one that is offering the best, you know, to the candidate. So it's going to be a long process, really. And all the political parties in Nigeria are between now and June 3rd to finish everything about their primary. So it's really going to be a very congested time.
You know, for this the, already...
we're already in April. Yeah.
So looking at 10 weeks max.
Yes, max. And I'm sure a lot of parties will not... It's not up to. It's not up to.
Because June,
the whole of May is just 4 weeks.
Right? So yes. 4 weeks.
We are looking at highest 7 weeks. 7 weeks, because I'm sure a lot of parties will not want their primaries to extend to June 1st. You know, you want to finish everything in May, so you have the luxury of time to appease those that may be angry in the various political parties. So I'm sure a lot of parties want to, you know, finish everything between now and May 31st. Of course, there'll be appeals committee of the political parties and all of that, but it's becoming rather very interesting, I must say.
Okay, we're Nigerian Football Hacker. The commercial will play and then the lines will be open on Twitter at Nigerian for PH, on WhatsApp at on Facebook at Nigerian for PH. We're live this morning. My name is Eno Ogbevire. Lalekan Ige is my guest. Olaleko Ovunda Ige is my guest. The show continues in a bit.
Thank you.
Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Podhackers.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
The presidential race is getting hotter. Vice President Yemi Osinbajo this morning declared. Minister of Transport Chibike Amaechi declared on Saturday. We've had Ahmed Bola Tinubu declare before Oji Uzokalu. Is it the guy that has a case with the FCC?
Yes.
Okay.
Former governor of Abia State.
Mm. Rochas Okorocha also has a case with the EFCC.
Former governor of
Imo State and serving senator.
Serving senator.
Serving senator.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Vice President is serving, Amaechi serving. Then we have former Vice President Atiku Abubakar, he's his fifth running. We have current governor River State, yes, on weekends is on seat. Bukola Saraki, former Senate President,
Former governor of Ekwara State, yeah.
Okay, then we have Peter Obi, former governor of Anambra State.
Anambra, yeah.
He did go to Senate?
No.
Okay. The Tambuwal, former senator, and he was
former speaker of House of Reps.
House of Reps.
Governor of Sokoto State.
Sokoto State, good.
Yeah.
So we have them. Those are the top contenders, according to Olaleko Ovunda Ige here.
Yes.
We'll come to you. But the key question, really, amongst other things, is what would you, as a Nigerian, be looking out for? What criteria would you use to pick who becomes president. Don't forget, like we said, the primaries are yet to take place. Negotiations are still going on. But this is what we have on the table. 0817-923-0023 are the numbers. On WhatsApp, 08090306416. On Twitter, at NigeriaInfoPH. My name is Eno Ogbevri. Good morning.
Good morning, Eno. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Olaleko Ovunda Ige, I greet you this morning.
Good morning, my dear brother.
For the sake of name changing, I want to change my name very soon to an add one inquiry name. I'm still searching. But being that that's his name, my brother Olaleko, so Fayose is too small for you to recognize him. The alphabet is not stepping down for anybody that is interested. And he's your former governor.
Oh, we forgot to know Bakari.
Plus, no, Vunda, no. But what do I really want? I want somebody who has track record. I want somebody who can tell me when we will stop the importation of petrol. When we will stop it. The petrol came here and said they want to export import cassava from Nigeria for 5 years. A day did not exceed that 5 years. And I'm concerned, whatever problem we have right now, apart from insecurity, even the insecurity thing, if we start production of petrol and other products here, we may save enough money to tackle almost all our problems, including buying weapons and everything. But we are losing track, we are doing everything, importing bad oil into this country. So anybody that has a track record, and also tell me that so time, not telling me so time by around this, no. Tell me by on the 25th of this so year, we will stop the production of petroleum products. Then I'm good to go.
All right.
So that I will record it and play it for you when the time comes.
Thank you for calling. So we've got lots of spoken words, lots of recordings, lots of references, but we're still here. They're going to fix the refineries. It didn't happen. They're going to stop banditry or whatever it is. It didn't happen. I mean, politicians have said things that I even have forgotten, and they didn't make it happen. So I don't know what that means. Also, we've had people that had track record in a certain ministry or when they were in a certain office, they moved up and the lights went off. Good morning.
Yeah, Mr. Zion. Good morning to you. One thing I've noticed, the political class or the aspirants or those running for those offices elected are not the problem. They have never been the problem. The problem is the followers. We can't hold them accountable. I'm telling you, we can't. The present UK administration now, having for the past 7 years, which group from River State that have asked for accountability? For the years of President Muhammadu Buhari in office, tell me one group, organization that have asked for accountability of the railway or any of the so-called 800 projects that lead us down this country. Brother, what do? We share the money, we walk away. We are waiting for our turn. So, best to my knowledge, until we get to that point, where I, Mr. Zion, through the FOI Bill, Freedom of Information Bill, can ask or make a request for certain documents that promulgate a certain project, that is only where we can get it right. But for now, the divide among the political parties waiting to share the money has declared our sense of reasoning. So whatever Wike is doing as the governor, he is going to benefit his people. Whatever President Muhammadu Buhari is doing, he's going to benefit his people. So what we talk about, I'd rather wait for my turn. When we get here, we also vandalize. But as a people, we should use the next election to start educating ourselves beyond the PVC. Beyond the PVC. Mr. Zion.
All right, thank you for calling. Let's talk about this accountability thing that Ms. Zion has brought up. Nigerians don't hold their leaders accountable.
Well, I think I agree with him to a large extent. But remember to also have the various states, House of Assembly and the National Assembly at the state level.
They're supposed to keep each other in check, right?
Exactly. That's why the Assembly is vested with the power of oversight functions, be able to query, be able to raise issues. A governor passes a budget, maybe for 2020, and you're going to present 2021. It's the responsibility of the House of Assembly to question the governor. We approved 100 naira last year. You have not given us a breakdown of how you spent it. From our oversight functions, we don't think what you earned and what is on ground, you know, match each other. You understand? That's one of the powers of the State House of Assembly. Many people don't even know that. Look, even at the local government level, we have the legislative arm at the local government level. Yes.
Have you heard the phrase called rubber stamp?
When you talk of rubber stamp,
have you heard it?
I've heard of the word severally. Okay. You understand? And I'm saying, when you look at accountability, Mr. Zion is talking about the people not asking for accountability. Mm. And I'm saying that the House of Assembly is meant to be the one to largely oversight the executive
and representatives of
the people. Now, the best way the people can also punish the House of Assembly members is to vote them out during the elections. So when you send somebody to the House of Assembly, or you send somebody to the reps, or you send somebody to Senate, and the person doesn't perform well, the best way to punish that person is to wait for 4 years. Or you do what is constitutionally guaranteed. You recall, which unfortunately has not worked in Nigeria, but you have the opportunity in just 4 years to say, no problem, we have tried you, we've seen what you've done, good. Please come and rest. Let's try another person. And we can only do that when we encourage as many people as possible to go and vote.
All right.
Let's forget this idea of votes don't count. Mm. If votes don't count, then why are politicians desperate to buy your vote? It means it counts. Why are politicians desperate to snatch ballot boxes? It means the vote will be counted somewhere. Mm. So why don't you come to the, you know,
polling unit.
Yeah, to the polling unit that day? So you can imagine a polling unit that has probably 500 or 300 people registered, and just about 20 people turn up on election day. The people who want to do election will help you vote. They will vote on your behalf, either by hook or by crook. So the best thing is for all of us to come. And the day Nigerian politicians know that we have the power every 4 years to say, come and rest, let's try another person. I'm sure, you see, that's part of the accountability process. We send you to the assembly, you don't perform, we vote you out. We send you to a legislative arm at the local government level, you don't perform as a councillor, we ask you to come back. We send you to National Assembly, you don't perform, we retire you. We voted you as a local government chairman, as a governor, as a president. Look, you have not done well. Or you have done well by your own standard. Don't worry. We are the people. We decide whether you've done well. Let's try another party. Let's try another president.
You joined the retirees WhatsApp group. Justice Ori says, the task ahead is majorly in security and economy, which I think the present administration is not sleeping. With good economy and security, Nigeria will make a headway, and that's why we need an experienced man to succeed President Buhari. Okay. Let's take some messages. Samuche says, okay. We want to know this criteria. Don't mention names yet. Papa King says, capacity to develop, one, ability to defend and say the truth. Two, credibility. Three, four, outstanding to the economic policies and agricultural growth. And finally, vision. Equity and Justice says, Ekowo AJ, the candidate must have all the constitutional requirements and should be eligible in the area of personal integrity and track record of good performance as a public office holder before. AK Ogwechi says, someone that has ideas and contributes meaningfully for the welfare and development of our country. I think, okay, he has a candidate already. Fantastic. Building of refineries says, amen. Aran Soan. Ame says, settling of foreign debts, oneness, local policing. Okay. Ability to reconcile us. Waneri Azubike sent that in. Who else is here this morning? We have. Okay. Someone doesn't understand this APC PDP matter. Says, as for me, a more sensible candidate comes from any of those other parties, that's what I'll vote for. Okay? If you're very hungry and some big amount is sent to you, what would you eat and prepare? Okay. All right. 0817-923-0002. Take some calls now. Good morning.
Good morning, Iran.
Iran. Okay.
Okay. I think, as for me, we need somebody who can use little resources to do mighty wonders.
That's a miracle. Like Jesus did, right? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, fed 5,000.
We can replicate that.
Okay.
It's possible. Even Jesus Christ said that those that we come after, we do more things than he has done. So we don't need governors, or we don't need people who will come and then rely on them following. And just like some present governors we have that are also aspiring to be president, saying that the question he has, what have they done? What different things have they done? Apart from waiting for monthly allocation, apart from waiting for revenues to do overhead bridges and all that, and make noise over it. Now, so far in the APC, look at the characters that have shown himself.
They have aspirants that have shown interest.
I think 2 is outstanding. The likes of Hamishi and the vice president of Evangel. These 2 persons are outstanding.
What criteria have you used to make them outstanding, sir?
Now, as for Hamishi, going by his past record in the state when he was the governor of River State, the records are there. He has good records. Then, as a serving minister, he also has good records. Then, as for vice president, we all know, even when Buhari traveled out of the country, he tried to, bring, he fought cutting good things to the country.
Hmm?
You know.
What did you say?
Are we rewarding
effort or are we rewarding results? What results does he have?
We are rewarding results.
What were the results of those movements? I know he did some movements. He traveled a bit. What were the results?
Yes, he made some movements. Though as a vice president, as an acting president. But those movements could not be the body of the life.
All right. You've just answered the question then. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. No.
Yes, you're on.
Good morning, Mr. Laleka Ovunda Ike.
Thank you, my dear brother. Good morning.
Yeah, it's Dr. Gustin Lucas calling from Onega. I'm so much interested in the governance of Nigeria, most especially our economy, because, one, we have really gone back, because if you look at the stage of the country, we need a man who is capable, a man who will be able to lift the country from the stage where we are to the stage where we are supposed to be. We are called the giant of Africa, and it's quite unfortunate we are not living to that standard anymore. Because one, a state where the country's insecurity has taken over, killing on a daily basis, and we don't have rest in our various rooms. We can't even sleep with our 2 eyes closed. It shows that we need someone who can change it. A country where the masses don't find food to eat is very difficult. The families are finally difficult to even purchase a cup of curry. We need someone who can do it. And I believe the candidates are all good, or the aspirants. But to my best knowledge, or to the one I prefer, I think Tinubu will be able to answer this question. Because if you see his track record in Lagos State, he was able to transform Lagos State to the state where it is today. If you watch the Catholic City being built today, it's a framework done by him, something that he has long prepared, and they are living to that dream. Yes, the economy has moved from a stage of 40 million naira to a stage of over 40 billion per month in the internal generation revenue. That is the kind of people we need to strive this country to a greater height.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lekan has been making some Lekan, could you put that in words?
No, like I've argued earlier, to make Nigeria better, it's not just about the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria.
One person.
It's just one person. I'm saying, look, we have 3 tiers of government. If all 3 tiers of government are working, then it means we begin to make progress. You understand? They say a chain is as strong as its weakest link.
Mm.
So despite or should I say, no matter the efforts of the federal government, if the state and local government are not joining that race, you know, to make their respective areas better, then we'll probably still be slowing down. Check countries that have developed. Let's take an example, you know, from the United States. You understand? Then you begin to understand why virtually all the states are struggling to outdo each other. You understand? So you have a sense that, look, we need to make things better. And one of our callers talked about food. And I said, look, food is on agriculture is on the concurrent list, meaning local government, state and federal can participate in agriculture. And I'm saying as of today, how many states in Nigeria have serious agricultural policies?
Or any?
Now, look at your areas of comparative advantage. How much investment has the state or have the states done to grow that area of comparative advantage?
So, for example, palm oil, we have cassava.
Let's say cassava, for example. Yeah. You understand? Cassava has a lot of... Cassava has a lot of derivatives, meaning from cassava you have gari, from cassava you have fufu, from cassava you have starch, from cassava you can also have other products that are used, especially, you know, in the beverages industry.
Mm-hmm.
You understand how much investment has gone way of cassava?
What you're thinking is that by now the south states,
almost all the southern part of Nigeria, can grow cassava.
They can hold
what
that.
Have we done? I'm sure you know that almost all the states in southern part can grow sugarcane, and sugarcane is one of where you have a sucrose that is used in manufacturing. You understand, especially for cereals, for syrup, for sweets, and all of that. Now look at the derivatives that can be obtained from sugarcane. Look at palm oil. The southern part of Nigeria is blessed enormously. You know, what have we done in terms of planting new seedlings of palm oil? What kind of policies have we had? Remember, as you do all of this, you're also creating employment.
You are creating
You're also going to be earning revenue, you know, from this.
You're also
going to be bringing development to, you know, if you have an oil palm estate, remember there will be clusters of people who start business there. Mm-hmm. Mama put will come, people who sell recharge card will come, transport, and all of that. So we are saying that, look, these are within the purview of even state government. What have we done? The local governments that we have in Nigeria, what are they doing to also help grow certain areas? What areas do you have comparative advantage over the other? You understand? In what area? So what are we doing? Like I said, food is the number one. Food is the number one need of human existence. And any country in the world that has food security has conquered 70% of its problem.
Mm.
Because in getting food security, it attracts a lot of things that, that come with it. Exactly. Because in ensuring food security, you're also helping to create employment. You're also going to be earning revenue. So you can imagine if we say, look, we are going to make the southern part of Nigeria the number one grower of cassava in the world. So it means we are going to produce sufficient for local consumption and production
for export.
And the moment we export, we earn revenue. So it isn't just about all of us focusing on the federal government clearly acts its own responsibilities without any doubt. I'm not trying to exclude the federal government from this. I'm saying that we focus too much attention on the federal government.
Mm.
Now, let's begin to now focus attention on local and state governments. Let's see whether if we push, you know, from the bottom, maybe as we are pushing from the bottom, they also rise. So that when they are rising to the... Remember, a sizable number of the presidential aspirants are former governors.
Mm-hmm.
A sizable number of them are former governors. So,
what do they do?
So you can imagine if we're able to push the local government chairman, maybe he becomes governor. Then we're able to push him. Then he will have learned the ropes and say, look, this is what the people want. That's on one part. On the other part is, as Nigerians, what are we doing to also make Nigeria better? It's not just about talking about leaders. In Port Harcourt, you see people drive against traffic.
Is that
the president of Nigeria?
Is that the president of Nigeria?
You go to some places, you go to some courts just to do affidavit of change of name. Some people are calling 5,000 naira. Mm-hmm. Is that the state government?
NIN.
People are charging you as much as 10,000. Is that the federal government? So while our governments have their own problems, we as citizens...
Petrol, you want to buy in jerry can, you pay 100 naira.
And I'm sure that, you know, a lot of us will probably be worse than the leaders we have in Nigeria
primary
today.
Primary school, free education, bring 5,000.
remember that some of us can even be worse than the leaders we have today. The only difference, we're
bad enough where we are.
The only difference is that we have not had the opportunity.
No, where they are, they don't finish work.
Exactly. So how do we want a better Nigeria when we, the Nigerians, are not changing?
There's no way we can
have a better country when we don't change our attitudes too.
Ferdinand DKL Gul says, you, Olalekan Vunda Ige, you've won his heart. Imagine the way you just summarized the area of leaders' neglect on agriculture. I mean, it's high time we started doing something to produce some agricultural produce from the south. Everything shouldn't come from the north alone. I wish our prospective leaders will have this mindset. If you become an advisor of the governor or the president, the agricultural sector will thrive.
No, well, definitely. You know why agriculture is important? It helps to guarantee, to a large extent, food security.
And that's
you know, when people can eat easily,
they can think,
they can sit down to think. When food can be gotten, you know, easily, almost easily, you understand, then it makes them relaxed and say, well, even if I don't have money, at least I can easily buy food. You understand? These are the multiplier effect of the agricultural industry is what we are looking at. There is absolutely no kind of pharmaceutical production you want to have, even in the beverages industry. Just name them.
We have a second factory here that's been closed for how many years?
So we all
and it has the capacity of, I think, for example, 1 billion.
So we have derivatives that can come from... Look, let me give you an example. They had a recent study. Which food or which derivatives or from which major source do Nigerians consume the most derivatives? Is it flour? Is it cassava? The argument has been there. No, but when you say cassava, also look at flour too. From there, you are going to, of course, you are going to be having
flour from.
Of course, you are going to have a meat pie. Just name them. Bread.
Yeah, there's cassava flour now. There's wheat flour.
Of course.
So we're able to still do that.
Look at the top three things that we consume the most in Nigeria: derivatives from cassava, derivatives from flour, and derivatives from rice. In fact, the most consumed staple food in Nigeria today is rice. That is the only food that is eaten across the length and breadth of Nigeria. And we have the capacity, we have the land and everything to be able to grow rice, even in southern Nigeria. How much effort have we, you know, invested in that regard? You see how we can begin to gradually grow. Now, what stops a local government from having 1,000 hectares of land, you know, for rice plantation? And you employ people.
They have the land.
Whatever you generate from it adds to the IGR of the local government, and you're also able to pay people. If you have states investing in that regard, you also understand the multiplier effect of what goes on.
Is the boys have taken over the bushes. That's where they keep their kidnapped victims.
But we didn't give the boys the opportunity to earn decent means of livelihood. The boys are also seen those who have held political office and the kind of wealth they've amassed, and they think that, look, since they are not helping us, let's help ourselves.
All right.
Maybe they are looking at the policy of everyone help those who help themselves. But then we must provide opportunities for our young ones. You know, if we don't provide the opportunities for them, if they cannot sleep, we will never be able to sleep. There's no doubt
that's
about it.
I mean, that's how we got to where we are as a nation.
Yes.
Reina Igbana says, good morning, Eno, and the guest of Vunda Ige. What I'm expecting from an incoming president, good track record, young to an extent, 50 to 65 years, and quality experience in terms of leadership. You laughed. We have a full-blown security crisis in Nigeria when a Hobbesian state of nature, in which life is nasty, British and short, but after the darkness, dawn would rise, just like that. So we need a new kind of leadership that solves problems. Number one, security. Someone that will talk less and do more of the lamentable strides. Pat Torini sent that in from Port Hackett. Someone says manifestos are just talk. We have to check what the president has done for the betterment of the country. How can we be facing security challenges in the country and the president's comfortable to travel? As far as I'm concerned, none of them is good enough to be voted because we have voted them in before and they failed. We need a new group of people to rule this country. Bright, where are we going to get them from? Because it's a matter of, you know, we need a new set of people. What? Tell me.
Even if we bring angels from heaven, if we don't change as a people, the angels will also be worse than the leaders we are talking about. Because there must be a way to check our leaders, and for us that are the followers, we must also have a sense of responsibility. And a lot of people have talked about the issue of insecurity, you know, in Nigeria. And I must tell you that, look, we have not even invested anything in security. That's just a funny thing.
All right.
Nigeria has a GDP of about $500 billion. We should be investing at least 25%, 20 to 30% of our GDP in security. Okay. And the best way for you to know whether we even have security in Nigeria or not is that in the Southeast, police stations have been consistently attacked. Until today, we've not even been able to get visuals of those who attacked. Meaning that
there's no light.
We have solar. Wait, we have solar
no,
power.
But there's no light. Do you agree?
Even if there's no light, we can install solar panels in police stations to have CCTV, so that from every angle approaching any police station, you should be able to have visuals of those. At least we have to have any. It's not about shaking your head. Look, if we must progress, we must invest heavily in security. And as of today, we are not. Look, let's say the truth. Without the state governors donating almost everything to police, Nigeria police may have collapsed.
True.
So you can imagine, even the federal government that owns the police has not invested enough in the police.
But they've given the state security votes.
They give the state security votes, and I'm saying that it is some of these things they've been able to purchase: bulletproof, buy armored personnel carrier, buy vehicles, gunboats, you know, and all of that stuff. Right. I'm saying, even with all of this, we are still struggling.
God's will from Port Harcourt. Final message: why people behave the way they do by breaking the law is because government has failed. If Western world where there's law and order, no child will ask any student to bring 5K. Nobody will drive one way.
Even in the Western world, there are even mad people like us.
Punished.
Yes. Okay. Yep. You get justice. You know, that's one of the core things that makes the Western world differ from us. People commit even worse crimes in the Western world. But the truth is that no matter how long it takes, you will be caught. Like I always say, the popular refrain in America is, if you cannot spend the time, Don't commit the crime, of course. Don't commit the crime.
So if you cannot spend the time developing Nigeria, don't complain from your own corner. And then if the guys that have gone before you have gone there and they've not been able to do anything good, don't vote them in. My name is Eno Ogbeviri.
Well, I think it's just to call on Nigerians to please get their PVC. We just have to have a say in what happens in 2023.
All right. Olalekan Ovunda Ige, editor, Independent Monitor newspaper.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The conversation continues online at Nigerian4PH on Twitter and Facebook. Good morning.